Prophecy is a gift of love. And she in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna are two examples of God's prophecy, gift of prophecy. In their prophecies that they gave at the presentation of Jesus in the temple, they covered a whole range of the definition of prophecy. One way of defining prophecy is that we're speaking the mind and counsel of God. This is a gift that was God's dream to give to everybody. And the prophet Joel that we often bring up because he was quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he said this is what God's dream is, to pour his spirit out on all flesh, and everybody will prophesy. People will dream dreams and see visions and talk about the glory of God. That's really what prophecy is. Really the basic fundamental foundation of prophecy is a means of grace that's a part of our three general rules: to first love God. First, do no harm. Second, do good. And third, to stay in love with God. And using these means of grace, like prayer and scripture and communion and different other worship together, public and private worship. And one of those means of grace in that list is Christian conversation, Christian conferencing, talking to each other as Christians, not talking past each other, not arguing with each other, not talking just to each other, but sharing the vision that God gives us. And coming into consensus about, what God has for us to be and to do and to teach and to tell. And if that was easy to do, it wouldn't be called a means of grace. If it was easy to do, it wouldn't be in the Bible. It wouldn't be a gift. It wouldn't be something that has to come from God and then be studied about and learned about and practiced all of our lives, just to be able to begin to do, but rather that it's a gift that we accept and receive, and when we do accept it and receive it, then we have it. Even if we don't accept and receive it, we have it. If somebody gives you something and you don't, it's yours, and whether you're using it or not. And God gives us this opportunity. He says, through one of the apostles, come up here. Come sit with me in the heavenly places. And he invites us to come and look at creation through his perspective, through the divine eyes, and to look at each other from God's point of view. There's a lot of difference between God's point of view and everybody else's point of view. And Jesus highlighted several of those, like from our point of view, but when we lay aside our earthly tabernacle, then we're gone. But when from God's point of view, that doesn't really have that much to do with it. We lay aside our earthly tabernacle, we're still alive. We're still the same person. To God, everyone is alive. That makes a big difference then when we look at life and each other, and our family and friends from that perspective, doesn't it? I like it better. I don't know about you, but I like his perspective better. When we look at each other through the eyes of God's love and Christ, how he gave his life for all and reaches out with forgiveness and builds a bridge to everybody, sends us out to be bridges, priests, priesthood of the believers, to everybody, to build those bridges, to share that vision of perfect love, then know, when we look at our calling, our life, at our vocation, at everything about ourselves and each other through that lens, that's a pretty nice way to view the world. It makes the world a better place just the minute we accept that vision. So Simeon and Anna were here in the temple, and they came in there all the time worshiping God and praising the Lord. So that just put them in a certain mindset to begin with, didn't it? Well, if we're always worshiping God, praising the Lord, studying the Bible, praying, talking to each other about divine spiritual things, that means we're living in a space that encompasses God's spirituality. We're living in at the very least the outskirts of heaven. We're living in the Spirit. And you might even say we're living into the Spirit, living into heaven. You know, a lot of things that we do, we don't really do that well when we start out. We step into them a little at a time. You know, we don't know sometimes how we're ever going to accomplish something, but we just start stepping into it and learning about it. And that's the same with prophecy. We step into it. We learn about it. We start talking to each other. We talk with people. We listen to what others say. Others of our own faith, others who agree with us, others who don't agree with us. Others have other faiths, and we learn from each other. And if when we learn from each other, then that means we're learning from them and they're learning from us. We don't have to be afraid of that, because we really want the truth, right? And we want everybody to know the truth that sets us all free. And what is the actual truth is what emerges in those conversations and in those relationships. So we don't really have to worry about that. So that's different than just arguing, trying to tell our version, our understanding of the truth, and them trying to tell theirs, and then when neither one of us paying attention, and ends up neither one of us grows at all through that process. Nobody, that doesn't help anybody. Nobody grows in that. But so we need to learn. And if we accept that call of God, the gift of prophecy in our lives, then it means it's time to start talking and listening and sharing. Growing in our faith and living into the Word of God, the thought of God, the goal of God, the views and understandings that God has. Thought by thought, feeling by feeling, moving into heaven, our new home. And it's already been getting prepared for us. So already, all we have to do is just start moving our things in there and living into it. And then, so Simeon and Anna had been praying for a long time for the coming of Christ. And they didn't really know who it was going to be. They didn't know when exactly that this prayer would be answered, because they were praying along with all the other people that were looking for the redemption of Israel, as Anna said it. They were looking for that, but because they were looking for it, then they recognized it when they saw it. And when Jesus was brought into the temple, this little tiny baby brought into the temple, these two people, at least these two people, recognized that this was the Christ. Simeon and Anna both praised the Lord about this. And that's a part of what prophecy is, just praising the Lord. And they began to talk about this, and they recognized this. And they recognized maybe some of the prophecies that had gone on before, because that's what they referenced. And really, that's what a lot of our of prophecy is seeing something that was predicted in the past coming true today in ways that whoever predicted in the past may not have realized how it was going to come true. A lot of prophecies in the Bible, take Isaiah for example, has a lot of prophecies about Jesus and his birth and his life and everything, his death. And in some ways it spoke to those people right then about what was going on in their lives at the time that these words were spoken, more than a prediction of the future. But it also was a prediction of the future. And in some ways, some of those prophecies came true leading up to Christ in other ways. But then when Christ came, the people of God have looked back on these prophecies of Christ coming and seeing just how they line up with those prophecies so clearly. Well, they say hindsight's 20/20, right? Vision. So, we can look back and we can see, but everybody didn't really realize that Jesus was going to be nailed to the cross when they were looking forward, even to the day and the hour. His own best friends and disciples didn't recognize that. One part of prophecy that maybe a lot of times comes first to our mind is not really the biggest part of what prophecy is, of a person who sees into the future and sees these events unfolding, but it is a part of it. And Simeon saw that and predicted to Mary that there was going to be, her heart would be pierced because of this little baby at some point. And maybe he didn't even know he may not have had knowledge of what exactly that meant. But we do now as we look back. That's a big part of prophecy. But that kind of prophecy has to come out of the overall gift of being present with God and living with Christ, living with God, living in the Spirit, studying, praying, worshiping, doing all these things that move us into the spiritual realm. And out of that life comes the mouthpiece of the Lord, the statements God makes, the thus saith the Lord, comes out of that. And so when we think about this event of the presentation of Jesus, the temple, there's so many things, so many places our minds can go. We need to just let them go to those places and let the Spirit fill us with the joy that God is offering us. And I'd like for us to think also about who these prophets are, if it's everybody. If the Spirit is poured out on all flesh, it's all the people. In this case, it was a man and a woman that were both prophesying. There's no distinction made between their prophecy. Now, one said, well, one of them is a right one and one's the wrong one. They were both presented as the prophecy of God in the temple by people who were called. And throughout the scriptures, men and women both were called to prophesy and to speak the mind and counsel of God. So it doesn't have anything to do with our gender, for one thing there. And then throughout the scriptures, the very youngest and the very oldest were given words of prophecy. Some as seers, some as sages, speaking the wisdom of God, writing wonderful wisdom books in the Old Testament. And they were all ages, the youngest and the oldest, and everybody in between. So our age doesn't really have anything to do with that. Our gender doesn't have anything to do with it. In some ways, even our humanity doesn't have anything to do with it, because Paul talked about how all creation declares the glories of God. Now, Psalmist wrote about that. Everything in creation declares the glory of God. Think about that story where Balaam's donkey even talked and spoke a word from the Lord. All of God's creation is included in the spiritual realm. The only real distinction is whether or not we want to include ourselves in that. So whether, because, you know, we can say we're going to exclude donkeys, but Balaam's donkey still talks. So who do we exclude? Not the donkey, we excluded ourselves. Who are we excluding when we exclude somebody for any reason? We're excluding ourselves from part of the prophecy and joy and glory that God has for us. So let's live into that prophecy. Let's live into the love of God as it comes to us in our conversation. Part of that is going to be by listening to what others believe and experience and what's important to them, about, especially about spiritual matters, whether we agree with them or not. But, you know, then the other part is telling what we think and what we believe and sharing that together. And the key to all this is the love of God at work in our hearts. The key is love. Remembering that God is love and trusting that God is love. Remembering the great commandment to love God and love one another. Remembering the law of Jesus to love as we have been loved. Our other reading, epistle reading for this particular Sunday is from 1 Corinthians 13. And that's where Paul has been talking about the spiritual gifts, the gifts that God gives us through the Spirit. And after that chapter, then he talks about prophecy. So I'm not going to read all those chapters, but I would like to read this chapter as we conclude the sermon time today. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Chapter 14 begins, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. In the name of Jesus, amen.